God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Thanks for being with us here. Katie Erickson's in the studio with me. How you doing, Katie?
Doing great. Having a good time, as always.
Absolutely. Tonight, we're going to talk about the importance of mentors and disciplers. Yeah, don't be a pushover, friends. This is Do Not Keep Silent. I know some of you might be going, man, you've been talking about disciplers and mentors for quite a while, especially when Katie's on it. We seem to always touch on it.
It's kind of important, though.
Why?
Because Jesus kind of commanded it, and that's what Jesus did in his ministry is, you know, he discipled. Yeah. He had his group of 12 guys that, you know, followed him around all the time, and he discipled them and commanded them and us to make disciples and to be disciples. So it's kind of a big deal if in the Christian faith.
Yeah, absolutely. And friends, tonight we want to share a couple stories from ourselves, a couple stories about mentors or disciples we've had, and just hopefully this will be just a really good, encouraging program for you, and hopefully equipping so that not just you get discipled or mentor, but friends, especially if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to sink your life into somebody else. I would encourage you, you don't have to do it this way, but I'd encourage you if you're going to do that and you're going to try to disciple someone or mentor someone, find someone who's younger than you where you can sink into their life. And if you're going, well, I've never been discipled myself, well, I encourage you, someone who knows Jesus, find someone who's older than you. Usually they're wiser, let's just get real. And they're, well, they have a little more life experience, so they know how to be lovingly shrewd. Jesus calls us to do that, actually. Gentle as doves, but shrewd as serpents. And, well, I just encourage you to do that. Friends, I want to point you to not just a blog post, but to our blog. You can find out information about what we're going to be talking about tonight at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I don't know if you'll search disciple, if you'll find anything. Actually, I know you'll find stuff. Now that I think about it.
If you search for discipleship, oh my goodness, you will find lots of stuff on there.
So you can just type that in there, and what I would encourage you to do is probably just start reading. Okay?
We actually have on, when you go to the blog site, there is a section on the right-hand side that's titled Labels, and we actually have a discipleship label, so you could even like click on that, and that will take you to a bunch of posts about discipleship.
And before we get into it, I want you to know we have been literally blogging for over 10 years.
Actually, 12 years. The first post was in 08.
Over.
Yes. And we have, it's over 2,000 blog posts. I forget what the actual count is now, but it's a little over 2,000.
And the reason we're sharing that with you, friends, is not to brag or to say, hey, look at us. No, 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 no. You see, back in 2000 and probably 2004, two friends and I really felt called to begin something that we had no idea what it was going to end up being. We knew it was going to be called Worldview Warriors. We were actually sitting at a grinder shop. That's a sandwich shop, for those of you wondering, what is a grinder? We're sitting at a sandwich shop, and my friend's telling me about this vision he has. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. But just so you know, it was, and we still do events and things, but it was more of an event-driven idea, meaning like conferences and doing things like, you know, evening events, things like that. And, well, I will just say God had not a completely different idea, but he had what I would call a better idea, because back then we had no idea how powerful the internet was going to be. Just being openly honest with you right now. We knew it'd be powerful, but didn't know how powerful. So in 2006, we officially became a ministry. Again, trying to be more of a event-driven ministry. We found out and realized early on we needed something to kind of help promote what we were doing. So we started reading books. Sorry for laughing, but this is a funny part of the story. We started reading books on how to podcast and blog. You see, that information really wasn't out there, friends. So we were like, well, where are the experts? Well, they're in a book. Well, today you can find all that on the internet quite easily. However, we started, and I would say we were definitely pioneers back then. I could show you some things that we did that would make you probably right now laugh like crazy of how we did podcasting, because that was just hilarious. But now we've been blessed to be, well, part of a ministry here at New Vision FM. You can find out stuff about them at newvision.fm. They allow us to do things with their ministry and just really appreciate them big time. But here's the thing. Again, back then, 2006, 2007, 2008, we were trying to figure out how do we reach people we don't know. So we decided to start a podcast and blogging and doing all that kind of stuff. And people are like, what is a blog? I never heard of that. So I share that with you to let you know that God in his infinite wisdom had us started doing things that nobody else was doing. And we're thrilled to be here because now, today, in 2020, when you're hearing this, maybe you're hearing it in 2021. I don't know. But here's the thing. In 2020, there are so many posts up there in our blog that you probably won't have enough time to read it all in a year.
It would be a lot of reading, that's for sure. There's over 2,060 posts.
Okay. So, friends, it's incredible. And we've had bloggers come and go. But right now, I would say what I'm excited about, we've had new bloggers coming on, and they are in what I like to call knocking it out of the park. They are truly sent by God, and we are just thrilled to have them with us. And so, friends, I greatly encourage you, go find our resources there. We have lots of free resources there at worldviewwarriors.org. We do have other resources available too, books and such. But again, go use our free resources. I'm going to say this too. Use them in your Sunday school class. Use them in your small groups. Hey, pastors, why not? Use them in your sermons. Literally. And you know what? You don't even have to give us any credit, okay? Let's expand the kingdom of God together, please. We need to expand the kingdom of God here on earth. So let's do that together. Now, I want to get into this idea of disciple, being a mentor, all that good stuff. You know, should irresponsibility be rewarded? You know, when I was growing up, and I know I've shared part of this story before, but I think it's important to remember this. You see, when I was growing up, I was really into football. Well, I'm still kind of into football today. I say kind of because sometimes football, American football, gets a little, I don't want to say boring, but it seems just different. And I've gotten into a game of football with a round ball that's usually white and black because my children play that game. And so, well, I'm into that kind of football. But back in high school, yeah, I was a lot younger then, and I weighed a whole whopping 135 pounds. By the way, I was a senior in high school weighing that much. I'm telling you that because I'm realizing how little I really was because I have children of my own now. And I'm going, wow. Boy, was I little back in 8th and 9th grade because I weighed a whole 80 and 90 pounds back then. Literally, friends. Some of you might be going, how do you know that? Because I wrestled. And so I remember that. Now, in the program for my senior year of high school, remember, I weighed 135 pounds. I put I weighed 155 because, you know, I had to look bigger. Who was I kidding? The thing, though, is this. As a sophomore in high school, I was put on what they call the scout offense and defense. And I actually played in the JV games. And again, since I was so small, I got to play in the freshman games, too, which was awesome because I got to be, again, on that scout defense and offense, so I'd always kind of play, but I hardly ever practiced. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful time for me because I got to play in games like almost every day. It was amazing. So I got to suit up for those games, and it was just a lot of fun. So a funny thing, though, happened in that sophomore year of my high school year. You see, our homecoming game, it wasn't a typical game at all. You see, that year, our coaching staff had decided to implement something that they had never done before, and that was to give us a whole lot of rules and guidelines that we were supposed to be following because they decided, hey, we're not just doing football here. We're going to try to raise these guys to be young men. Now, I'm not going to say godly men. I think our head coach, I think he was a Christian at the time, but I can tell you now I know he's a Christian. And in this day of 2020, back then, I'm not going to tell you when. But back then, when I was growing up, I don't know if he was a Christian or not. He did go to church, though. But he and his coaching staff decided we're going to have rules this year. Well, one of the rules was if you stayed out past 10 p.m. the night before the game, you would not play on Friday's game. Now, does that sound strict? Well, maybe, but those were the team rules, and, you know, they were definitely necessary because I'm just going to be honest with you. As high school kids, we liked being out after 10. It was I had a really fun time. I'm just going to let you know. It was great. So the night before the homecoming game, though, four of our senior leaders decided that they were going to stay out past curfew, which is a definite no-no. And our head coach and many players actually found out about this. Our head coach, he literally had a decision to make. Should he let these seniors play in the game? Again, remember, it's homecoming. Should he let them play in the game, even though they knew the team rules, or make them pay for the consequence for disregarding them? So does he let them just get away with it, or does he give them a consequence? Well, I can be honest with you, nothing short of that night seriously changed my life. I'm just being honest. Even though we were playing one of the best teams in our conference, by the way, this team won the state that year. That's how good they were. And we were playing them for a homecoming. Let's say there was no hope. We had no hope of winning this game. Okay, like at all, just so you know. So what happened is coach, we called him Mort, because his name was Tom Moriarty. I still love this guy, by the way. He made the tough call, and he literally benched all four of these seniors. And he did it right before the kickoff, on the sidelines. Not in the locker room. He did it in front of the world, at least my world at that time. Pandemonium broke out. I mean, the starting fullback grabbed his helmet, threw it on the ground, kicked it, went crazy. I mean, even people in the stands were going nuts. What's going on? What's happening? And let's just say not only were these four players livid, but their parents were not happy. Even though they'd been out with the homecoming committee the night before, our coach reminded them that they broke team rules and knew the consequences. I mean, our coach, by the way, he probably stood all of 5'4". Yeah, 5'4". And he looked at one of the players right in the eyes and says, and put his finger right in his face and said, "I know where you were last night." I was standing watching that happen. And this seriously changed my life. Again, you could hear the fans yelling to put these players in the game. And again, remember, we are playing literally the team that's going to win. We didn't know it at the time, but literally going to win the state championship that year. We had little chance to win without these players. I think our coach probably felt so much pressure. It was unbelievable, but he was not going to relent. And he stood his ground the entire first half just to make his point. I think we lost the game 36-6. I think. I don't even remember, but it was bad, okay? I think he knew that he had to make a stand or lose respect of the players. Friends, I'm going to continue on here because, well, I want to hear Katie's story too, but I want to tell you how important it is to sink your life into someone who's younger than you or to learn from someone who's older than you. Because as I reminisce back on this event in my life, I can see parallels that go on big time. Even though we all know there are both good and bad consequences for our actions, let's be honest, we still make really stupid decisions. We really do. And I just want to share this with you. I think it seems as if too many people struggle with the narrow path. Once you're on the path and doing the right thing, it's hard to stay there. It's easy to kind of jump away and do something else. Well, I want to tell you this, friends. My senior year of high school. Now, remember, our team when I was a sophomore lost that game 36-6. I think we won all of three games that year. The next season, we won all, I believe, three games of that year. That same team, I think we lost 36-6 again. However, my senior year of high school, all of us seniors who were sophomores that year, had our respect for this man had grown so much that we had decided, you know what, we're going to honor him, we're going to honor the coaching staff. And that year, our team made it to the final game to go to the state championship. Not championship, but to the state. Why is that a big deal? Because we never even sniffed it. Our school had no idea what that was like. And you know that team that we lost to 36-6? Well, we went and beat them that year at their place. I believe it was 20-14. To their place. And I share that because, friends, making tough decisions grows and matures you. And I just want to thank Mort for being willing to sink his life, not just into me, but many other guys. And before I turn it over to Katie, I just want you all to know, in my own life, I have been blessed to be discipled by many great men. Some aren't even with us anymore. But because they were willing to take time out of their very busy schedules, there's things that I've learned that I didn't even know I learned until like now. It's just incredible what God can do. It truly is amazing when you give people not just ideas, but show them God's way and allow them to make their choice to follow his way. You know what, Katie? I'd like to hear from you. Has there been anybody that's sunk into your life?
Definitely not while playing football, but right. Yes.
Well, that's okay, though.
Yeah.
But you're, you know, the one you told me off air, mm-hmm. This is, friends, what you're going to hear, I think, is just incredible as well.
Well, all right. That was kind of a big lead up.
I do.
All right. Well, so when I, well, I'll start back in high school, I guess. So when I was in high school, I was really shy. I was really quiet. Mm-hmm. I was very nearly voted shyest in my class.
Really? I didn't know that.
I knew that because I was on the yearbook staff. And so I was the one, like, you know, counting up the votes and all that kind of stuff. So, I was.
So you knew what the votes were.
I knew. Yeah.
Oh,
so
my
I knew I was very nearly voted shyest in my class.
Wow.
And many people who know me today are like, what? Seriously? You? Yeah. And so actually, it was a little bit during college, but mostly after college. So my husband and I lived in the Toledo area, and the church that we attended then, we started going there. Like, we literally just started at the list of, like, A's for churches to try and find one. We ended up at a church called Advent. Seriously.
That's awesome.
It was, like, one of the first ones we picked, and we're like, yeah, God wants us here. Okay, we'll stay.
That was so easy.
It was, yes. Yeah. So our pastor there, we are still friends with him today. Great
cool.
guy. Just really had a big impact on me spiritually. And so we were part of, I'll share one instance here. We were part of a new members class for that church. There was probably about 20 of us or so in the class. It was called Faith Formations. We met once a week for, I don't know, a couple months or so, had dinner together and, you know, then just talked about some aspect of the faith and what that looked like. And at one point during the class, I don't even remember the context of this at all. I just know that the pastor, you know, made the comment of like, you know, the next time we offer this, one of you could be leading it. Mm-hmm. And I had that initial thought of like, ooh, I could do that. And then I was like, no, I can't. And I was just so intimidated by that. But at the same time, I was like, no, I could do that. You know, keep in mind, this is me who was very shy and not at all outgoing and did not like to get up in front of people and talk at all. Like, I had to give a speech at my high school graduation and I was so terrified. I mean, it was like
shaking really bad.
Yeah, it
you
was
were.
Like, well, it, yeah, but it was also like crazy hot. So I was also sweating profusely, but so was everyone. So,
right.
Yeah, and it was just terrifying. So to think of me leading a class just, you know, a few years after that, it was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, this pastor kept encouraging me. You know, he didn't push, you know, but like whenever I finally got up the courage to ask if I could do something, like at one point, well, we only went to this church for about 3 years before stuff happened and we moved away and all that. But at one point, I just felt like I really need to lead a Bible study. And, you know, I was like, I don't know where that's coming from, but I just really felt that God was convicting me that I had to do that. And so I went to talk to the pastor and I said, yeah, so I think I want to lead a women's Bible study. Now, keep in mind, this was a church of mostly like people in their 60s and up. And I was in my early 20s at this point. So it felt a little weird being this young person coming and leading a Bible study. But when I asked that to the pastor, he was like, well, yeah, sure. When do you want to lead it? You know, we'll make that happen. You know, we can buy some books, you know, through the church or whatever. And I was like, okay.
Ah!
Yeah, pretty much. And the same thing happened another year or so later after that, where, you know, I really felt like God was calling me to preach a sermon. And at that point, I knew God had called me to go to seminary, but I was still kind of, you know, not totally on board with that yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And so couldn't even bring myself to actually talk face to face to the pastor to ask him if I could preach because I was just so terrified. So I left him a note in his mailbox at the church. And, you know, I was like, so I think I'm supposed to preach a sermon. And so he wrote me a note back and was like, okay, here's the date. I've been waiting for you to finally be on board with this, because he saw that in me long before I saw it in myself. And it was just great to have him as a mentor to just encourage me in that and encourage me to follow what God is calling me to go to seminary, you know, to have that experience to, you know, just learn more stuff about God and about leadership and all of that. And he was definitely one of the most influential mentors in my life. So
that's super exciting. And, you know, friends, if you're tuning into this and you're, you know, maybe thinking, reminiscing about your own life, you know, I can almost guarantee that some of you are coming up with people that you know, someone who has mentored or discipled you. And what I want to encourage you to do tonight is write their name down, and I'd like you to start, well, thinking about how could you thank them? How could you thank them for taking time out of, let's just get real, their busy schedule to sink into you? Because, friends, they didn't really need to do that. I mean, I'm sure they're busy. I'm sure they've got things to do. But they took time for you. So I want to encourage you to send that person a letter. Yeah, snail mail. Email would be fine. But like a note, a little card, something like that. I know a lot of people don't send cards anymore, but
that
we
makes
still
it more,
can, right?
That makes it more special when you receive one, because it's not a very common thing.
Right. So I just want to encourage you to do that. You could, you know, you could also, if you're like, well, I don't write notes, but maybe I could put something on social media. Okay, do that. And if you haven't figured it out, you can tag a person, and then they'll see it, and you can kind of use that as a way to thank them. And who knows, maybe you'll connect back up in that way. Thank them in public, literally. So not only do they know, but other people see that, and that it happens. Now, if you can't think of anyone, or maybe you have too many to choose from, okay, then I want to encourage you to ask God to help you in choosing someone. And then I want to encourage you to get to work. And unless you're driving or something like that, do it right now. If you're tuning into this, it's not bedtime yet, maybe for some of you, but it's not bedtime yet. Do it right now, because if you don't, time will just slip away. Now, how could you get to work on it? I'm not saying to write the note now. I'm saying to make a list of people. Go get a piece of paper. Yeah, piece of paper. And a pen or a pencil. You could also put it on your phone. I think there's probably an app called Notes or something on there. Right?
Yes.
Okay. And you could just type it right in there. No biggie. And then thank them. For instance, as we're coming up to the end of the program here, I also want to say this. I want to encourage you to think about somebody that God might be calling you to sink your life into. Who is God calling you to disciple or mentor? We don't have a lot of time, so I do want to encourage with this, because some of you are going, you keep saying mentor or disciple. Well, very briefly, mentoring and discipling are different. Let me help you understand real quickly what that is. A mentor is someone who's there for that person that they're mentoring, but the person who's getting mentored, they kind of run it. What I mean is they're the ones who kind of help the mentor guide them. A discipler, though, they are the boss. They sink into that person's life, and that person receives it. They're totally different. People don't think it is, but it is. Because in mentoring, the one being mentored is going, well, I know I need to work on this. The discipler, though, they're the ones who says, you need to work on this, and that disciple gets to decide if they're going to receive it or not. Some people disagree on this, but that is how I see it, and it works very well. Does that make any sense, Katie?
It does. Okay. I've always thought of it from a perspective of a discipler is more of the like spiritual stuff specifically,
yes.
Whereas a mentor is also like just more general like life guidance and
sure.
all of that. So it's another way to look at it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So friends, I just encourage you, write someone's name down that you think God is either calling you to disciple or mentor, and then maybe just approach that person. Pray about it, of course. Don't just freak him out, okay? And some of you, just so you know, getting together could just mean having them over to your house. You know, in this crazy 2020, maybe it's going out and getting a couple, let's just call them fruit drinks, and going to a park and talking to one another instead of going into a restaurant, since sometimes they don't allow that anymore. But here's the thing. This is Do Not Keep Silent. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Don't be a pushover. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Your own.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I won't play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.